121. This psalm has been described as an exquisite psalm. It's been described as a sweet outpouring of trust. And coming after Psalm 120, which is a psalm of complaint, Psalm 121 is a psalm of comfort. Now, it's one of 15 psalms that go from 120 to 134, which are known as songs of degrees or songs of ascent. And they belong to the period of Hezekiah. 10 of them are anonymous as far as the psalms are concerned, but the belief is that those 10 were written by Hezekiah, 4 by David and 1 by Asaph. They are called psalms of degrees or ascents, and there are some suggestion that they are recited on each of the 15 steps that lead up to the temple. The only problem with that is nobody knows whether or not there were 15 steps. There are 15 steps in Ezekiel's temple, but whether there were 15 steps in the temple at that time, Solomon's temple, is not really known. I think they correspond to the 15 degrees that the sun reversed when Hezekiah prayed to God. That would be my own suggestion, but it really doesn't matter, except that we need to try and get the psalm right. I want to take a question from the psalm, as is my practice. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Now, if you're using a King James, you have a comma there. There should not be a comma, there should be a period. From whence cometh my help is a question, not a statement. And that's the question I want to look at tonight. From whence cometh my help? Have you ever been so penned in with troubles and difficulties that you don't know where the help is coming from? Well, if you haven't, I have, and Wendy has. And we know the answer to this question. And of course the psalmist gives that, doesn't he? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forever. So the question is then, from whence cometh my help? And I think as we look at this question, as we spend a moment going back to the setting of the question, we will see the importance of prayer. And it wasn't my intention to bring this out tonight, but it does come out of the passage. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 19 and read from verse 10. The message comes from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, to Hezekiah. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, let not the God in whom you trust deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shall thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Zeph, and the children of Eden who are at Thelazar? Where is the king of Hanmar, and the king of Arpad, and the king of Sepharaim, of Hena, of Eva? Hezekiah received the letter at the hands of the messenger and read it. And I think this is delightful. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now, we wouldn't think of doing that. We tell the Lord about it. But yes, the king goes up to the temple and takes the letter and says, Lord, here it is. No. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. And you'll see that link with that statement with the psalm that we're looking at. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Lord, open thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Know therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of Israel, That for which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard. That then is the background to the psalm. The outlying cities of Judah have been captured. Jerusalem was under siege. The enemy had requested surrender, ridiculing the king's claim of trust in Jehovah. But Hezekiah was confident that God would help his people. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. Okay, Hezekiah, what are you going to see if you do that? Well, some people feel that it has a reference to the gods of the heathen. Personally, I don't. I think when Hezekiah lifted up his eyes to the hills, he saw the camps of the Assyrians. And he was frightened. And he had every reason to be so. These men were ruthless conquerors. They had gone through the lands like swords of justice. They had captured the outlying cities of Judah. And now they were right up against Jerusalem. Do you think he didn't have reason to be afraid? I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. And what am I going to see? Tents of the Assyrians on every one of them. And so the question comes, from whence cometh my help? It's not going to come from the hills because the enemy's there. Where's my help going to come from? If you've been in situations like that, or it may not be the Assyrians camped on the hills, but it may be all sorts of problems, that wherever you look, there's a problem. Maybe some of you haven't been there, and thank God if you haven't, but some of us have. And it's natural that the question would be wrung from the king. From whence cometh my help? But you see, the reason that Hezekiah went into the presence of the Lord and spread the letter was that he knew precisely where his help was coming from. And from the rest of the psalm, we learn something of the completeness of the protection and preservation of God. He answers his own question. My help cometh from the Lord. And this phrase links up with his prayer in 2 Kings 19, which made heaven and earth. He couldn't have given a better description of the power of this God. Which made heaven and earth. Notice, my help may come from the Lord. I hope my help will come from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so there's the definiteness, there's the trust There's the faith of Hezekiah as we look at the psalm. Now, there are a number of outlines given for the psalm, to the psalm, and I think I've just jotted a cut one or two down. The one I'm going to use tonight is a very, very simple one. Divine help proclaimed in verses 1 and 2, and divine help provided in verses 3 to 8. Now, this was a psalm that was probably sung. And you notice that verses 1 and 2, the speaking is in the first person. It's mine and it's my. When you come to the rest of the psalm, it's speaking of thee and thine. And the suggestion is that the presenter of the psalm would sing verses 1 and 2. And the rest of the people would reply back with verses 3 through to 8. The psalm could be entitled, The Keeping God. And so in verses 1 and 2 we have the idea of divine help proclaimed. Hezekiah knew that if help was going to come somewhere, it's going to come from the Lord. It couldn't come from his allies because they'd all been destroyed. They were all shut out by Assyria. So even if these people had wanted to come and help him, they couldn't because of the power of the Assyrians. And so his help is going to come from the Lord. And notice, the promise comes first. And the faith in that promise follows. Well, let's have a look then very briefly at some of the things that we can pick up about this protection. Now, you notice that there's three times the word keep or keeper occurs. And then further down the psalm, the word preserve. Now, some commentators will make the statement that these six words are the same. They're not. The last three are words of greater strength than the first three. When Wendy and I were going to Africa, just the weekend, a week before we went to visit two dear old saints of the Lord, missionaries from Jamaica, from Trinidad, probably well into their 70s. I always remember it because we had boiled fish and parsley sauce for supper, and I detest parsley sauce. Funny how things stick in your mind like that, isn't it? When we finished the meal, he said, well, you know, you two youngsters, and we were youngsters, 22 and a bit, you're going out to Africa, you know. We should look at a passage to give you encouragement. So we read Psalm 121. And he said to me, which is stronger, keeping or preserving? Well, I wasn't sure what answer he wanted, so I didn't say anything, which is always a good defense if you're not sure. You know, better to say nothing and be thought a fool than open your mouth and prove it. So you just sort of say nothing. Well, he said, preserved, Graham. He said, when you preserve something, there's an additional strength to the word. You can keep something by sticking it in your pocket, but you don't preserve it that way. And so he felt that the emphasis of preservation was in fact greater than the idea of keeping. Now, the first thing we learn in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now, there are a number of translations for this. May he not suffer thy feet to totter. And by the way, the word for move there is totter. The Hebrew word for move. Never will he let you slip. He who guards you never sleeps. That's Moffat. He suffereth not thy foot to be moved. Thy preserver slumbereth not. So, here's the first thing that we learn about the one who keeps us. He's not going to allow our feet to totter. Now notice, this is when we are looking to him for help. Sometimes when we don't look for him to help, we slip a little bit. But if we place ourselves under his care, then we're not going to step out of the path. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel will not slumber nor sleep. Now what's the difference? Well, slumber is when you just doze off because you're tired. Sleep, of course, is that full-bodied relaxation into the unknown where we go to get whatever rest we're supposed to get. So, he that keeps you is not even going to close his eyes to doze off. Ha. There's a beautiful verse in a number of the Psalms that he encourages his beloved to sleep. And we can sleep in perfect safety because he never sleeps. He's always watching. And I find this is very interesting, because when we come to the answer to Hezekiah's prayer, God moves in the night. When everybody's asleep except him, God moves. And I find that interesting. So, first thing we learn then is that there's sleepless watching. And I picked up a little verse, I assume, of a poem or a hymn. Fear not the windy tempest wild. Thy bark they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child. Thy father's on the deck. I thought that was a beautiful little... In other words, he's on watch. So that's the first thing we learn, is the idea of the one who encourages his beloved to sleep in peace and quietness, himself never sleeps. So this God to whom Hezekiah is appealing for help is a God who's aware all the time of what's happening. And I think that encourages us. Secondly, is the completeness of his protection in verses 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. This could be put over the psalm as a heading. The Lord is thy keeper, our guardian. Now, what's he going to keep us from? Well, he's thy shade upon thy right hand, and the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Difficult passage, perhaps, to put into present-day thoughts. But, you know, the idea of the shade upon the right hand. The right hand is the hand of protection, the hand of power. If you wear a sword, you wear it on the left side so you can pull it out and use it with the right hand. And a person protecting another will always station themselves on their right so they can take out the sword. Or in the days when they use swords, take out the sword and protect them. So here's the idea of the Lord standing in the place of protection. He's on your right hand, says Hezekiah. Now the sun shall not smite thee by day and the moon by night. I'm not too sure what you can say here. But you know something? In the east, where these things were written, sunstroke was a real danger. And so the idea of them, of the sun shall not smite thee by day, I think they would have understood that the Lord is protecting them from the power and the awfulness of the heat of the sun. What about the moon? Well, we get the word lunatic from moon. I'm not suggesting that this means the Lord will protect you from lunatics. Maybe he will, I don't know. But you see, the sun and the moon, what is that telling us? That's the completeness of time. The morning and the evening were the first day. And so whatever other teaching or spiritualization we may do about the sun and the moon, here's the complete day. Here's the complete time. And God protects us all the time. Now notice, we see in a moment when we talk about evil, he doesn't keep us out of evil. And he doesn't keep us out of difficulties. Had that been true, Assyria would never have surrounded Jerusalem. These things do attack us. These things do bother us. And we're not kept from them. We're kept in them in a sense. And so we have this idea of the night of the sun and the moon with the completeness of time. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Statement number one. He shall preserve thy soul. Statement number two. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forever. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. We live in an evil world. We live in a world where the prince of this world, the god of this world, has seemingly complete power. But as Hezekiah thinks about this preservation by God, he said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I read a little comment. I think I jotted it down here. Yeah, soul keeping is the soul of keeping. Soul keeping is the soul of keeping. You see, if our souls are kept, everything is kept. Because the word soul speaks for us ourselves. It's a word that the Bible uses for the person. So he'll keep you from evil. He'll preserve your soul. You as a person will be preserved and will be kept by God. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forever. Well, this Hebrew expression, thy going out and thy coming in, has a number of meanings. You see, we go out to do our daily duties, we come back in for rest. We go out for toil, we come back for repose. When we're born, we come out into the world. And ultimately, we're going in again at a later date. And the idea here is that everything is included in my life. Not just the time for the day, but the going in, the coming in, and the going out and the coming in. Interesting, the order of those two, isn't it? The Lord will preserve when you go out and when you come in. And here again, we have a time frame. And I suppose we could say that we're looking at the beginning of life and the ending of life, and the Lord will preserve you. Well, notice, from this time forth, even forever. From this very hour, says Hezekiah, he's going to preserve me. Even forever. From this hour to hourless time, if you can put it that way, I'm going to be preserved, says Hezekiah. Well, let's see what God did. You want to go back to 1 Kings 19? I've heard you, says God. Remember Hezekiah said, Lord, open your ears and listen. Open your eyes and see. Because look what this king is doing to me. Doing to us as a nation. Verse 35. In between you get the Lord's answer to Sennacherib. And it came to pass that night, when everybody else was sleeping, except the Lord of the universe, that night the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000. And behold, when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were dead corpses. I wondered about that, but I guess what it means is when everybody else got up, they saw the 185 corpses on the laying on the ground. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping the house of Nisrod his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. Look how complete was the victory that God gave Hezekiah. At night, when they were asleep and God was awake, because he never sleeps, the angel of death went through the camp. Oh, don't ridicule this God, Sennacherib. Don't write saying he's deceiving me. I'm sure the morning after this attack, Sennacherib had the message. This wasn't a God like the other gods. This is the God who made heaven and earth. And you know, and we have to remember this in our prayers. Think of Hezekiah's prayer. It wasn't just that we'll be freed from the enemy. Oh, that was pretty important. But that your name might be glorified. That men might know that you are the only God. And I think we have to make sure that that is in our prayers. Why do we want people saved? Why do we want the Y book successful? Because we want a scorecard? Because we want to say, whoa, that was great. 50 people were saved. Well, that would be nice. And there's nothing wrong in saying 50 people were saved. But what do we really want to see? We want to see God's name glorified. We want men to see that this God is for real. You know, there's three young men in Current where we go. And I pray for them every night. Two of them one of them is completely into drugs. The other two play with it. But they're very strongly into drink, and they're only young men. And the one who's in drugs can quote you Revelation far better than I can. He was in fellowship in the assembly, and he was coming on as a good minister of the word. And you know, my prayer is this, because I realize that if God deals with those three men, that's going to reverberate through the Bahamas. Because these guys are so bad. One of them, John the drug addict, came out with a saying. He'd chat to you and all the rest of it. He came out with a saying I never heard before, and I've often had to laugh about it. He couldn't get his boat to start while he was fishing. So he said to his father, who was very good to him and very gracious to him, I think I would have shot him long before, but his father certainly doesn't. He said, you know, if we didn't get bad luck, we wouldn't get any luck at all. That's one way of putting it. But you see, I pray for these three men because I want them brought back to the Lord. But I know of nothing in those islands that will glorify God than the restoration of those three. And that's what Hezekiah is. Lord, it's great if we're released. It's great if we're freed from the Assyrians, but what really is important is they get the message that you are the only God. Sennacherib goes back, of course, to worship this false God. And in the process of worshiping, he's murdered by his sons. Well, here we go. We're not surrounded by Assyrians. But we are surrounded by the one who motivated the Assyrians. The one who sent them against the people of God. The one who issued the challenge, Hezekiah, don't trust this God. He's going to deceive you. After all, the gods of the other nations haven't saved them. We wipe them out quite easily. And we live in a world where that is still the attitude. And that's why in saving these people, we have to pray that God's name is glorified, that people will see that he is God. And I hope that as we pray, that we'll realize the seriousness of what we're praying for. It's not just for souls. It's for the glory of God. And this king, he looks round the hills and he's surrounded by Assyrians. And so he asked the question, where's my help coming from? He knows where his help's coming from because he's been into the presence of God. He's shown him the letter. He's heard those lovely words, Hezekiah, I've heard you. In a very miraculous way, God delivers not just the king, but the whole of the nation. And this is our God. This is the God that cares for us. Let's turn to 44. Lovely words. Let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful that the events that surround King Hezekiah are recorded in thy word. Particularly his confidence in thee. And as we've looked at this psalm tonight, we hear the words, my help cometh from the Lord. And we've just sung a beautiful hymn that in very simple terms has reminded us of the strength and the value of the protection afforded to thy people. Sometimes, Father, we forget this. Sometimes the affairs of life press so heavily upon us, and as we look around the hills, we see nothing but difficulties and problems. But we bless thee that Hezekiah has taught us to look up and to see the Lord who made heaven and earth, and to realize that this is our God. Encourage our hearts, we do pray thee. Father, it's been a good day today. This morning we enjoyed the blessing of obeying the command of the Lord Jesus and remembering him in a very simple and lovely way. We listened to the ministry of thy word and we thank thee for the solemn warning that was presented. Tonight we've engaged in prayer and we've listened again to a beautiful portion of thy word. And now as we part company from each other, may we realize that we never part company from thee. That you are always in thy care, always preserved and kept, till that wonderful day when we will be brought into thy presence. Through the work of Calvary's cross. Accept of our thanks for these things that have filled our hearts today, because we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.